Grace to you and peace from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is from Revelation 19, and as we come to this word, let's bow our hearts and our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you our thanks. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you are our Savior, and all praise belongs to you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that in your mercy you would look upon us, and that by your grace you would give us confidence, so that we may know that you are, and you always will be, our hope, our joy, our peace, our eternal life. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. They are called confidence monitors. They are of two kinds, as I was reminded last night. On the one side, a confidence monitor is that screen which sits before a speaker, kind of like a teleprompter, but not necessarily right in your face, like you might see with a politician. Typically a little bit distant, a little bit lower profile. It's a confidence monitor because what you see on that screen in a public presentation or a presentation in any of any sort is what's coming up next. Over in the Concordia Center, we don't have a bulletin like this one most weekends. And so on any given weekend, there is a higher than likely probability in there, as opposed to in the sanctuary, that there will be a blessed train wreck. There will be a miscue or a unmet expectation on the part of the pastors relative to the worship teams, relative to the tech booth, relative to the sound tech. And so there is this thing in front of primarily the pastors, because we seem to be the ones most guilty of train wrecks, liturgically speaking. And it is called a confidence monitor. It tells us that here's where you're at right now. This is where you're going. Don't blow this. That's essentially a confidence monitor. It's a confidence monitor because, at least for me, although I'm thinking I'm speaking for Pastor Meggers as well, it makes our hearts feel a little bit safer. We feel more confident. There's a second kind of confidence monitor, less for public speakers and more for musicians and especially singers. And that kind of confidence monitor is not a visual one, it's an audio one. It's a confidence monitor because through this particular speaker, a sound of voices surrounding you comes forth so that as you're up there singing, you have confidence that you're actually hitting the right notes, that you're actually following the up and down of the musical stanza. It's a confidence monitor because in your ears gets put the confidence that at least you're remotely on pitch and on tempo. Today I want to talk to you about a confidence monitor of another kind. A confidence monitor that is custom made for Christians, especially Christians who find themselves through circumstance and in seasons of time and life and history to waver in the confidence that they have, that you have, that God is in sovereign control, that he is leading his people and this world to an ultimate ending, and that for those who trust in him, that they may have the confidence that it ends well. Today I want to talk about Revelation, the book of Revelation, as being a kind of scriptural confidence monitor. Last week, I talked in our Reformation service about two kinds of Reformation, one of the spirit and one of substance. And I asked the question, what kind of Reformation do you need today? And I posited, I offered that last week, maybe the Reformation we need, the kind of invigoration that the church requires, is one of the spirit. One of confidence. This week, on All Saints' Day, I want to take the opportunity to remind you that while spirit is important, our confidence is based on something substantial. And Revelation points this out. And especially for all of us who gather on All Saints and we are grieving the loss of loved ones, you need to know that our hope is built not on an aspiration or an emotion, but it is based on the substance of what God has done in history and will continue to do until the last day of human history as we know it dawns. And that substance is not something like dipping your feet into a hot bath and just saying, oh, it feels so good. No, that substance, it has teeth. It bites. It doesn't let go. The substance I'm talking about is here in Revelation 19, where the salvation and glory and power that actually belong to our God, His true and just judgments, are actually made manifest. In other words, the substance of our hope is not just that we get relief like a Rolaids tablet when we get to heaven. The substance of our faith is that God actually establishes righteousness, which is what our human hearts long for. God is not, in other words, God is not in the business of just offering an idyllic experience of animals playing with each other in the meadows while we dandle drinking lemonade for all eternity. God's purpose, God's plan, is to give evidence of His character, His righteous, good, holy, peaceful, shalom-laden character. That's God's design and desire. And that's what eternity looks like. It's what John speaks of here in Revelation 19 as the great prostitute who has corrupted the earth with her immorality, that prostitute of immorality is judged. The deed is done. And the kingdom, the righteous kingdom, ours remaineth. That's our hope. That's the substantial vision that God gives to the Christian church. And that is what we celebrate substantially this day, this All Saints Day. And in response, cry out like the saints that are pictured there in Revelation 19. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to recognize that with the strength of substantial preaching not based on the volume of my voice or the intensity of my cadence of speech, but substantial because this word from God is substantial, yes? I want to recognize, though, that there are still, as we will sing in just a few moments as we come to communion, that there are weak hearts that need to be made strong again. I want to recognize that there are among us hearts that do grieve what is coming up to be the first Thanksgiving without him or her, the first Christmas where we don't have to buy presents, cannot buy presents for him or her because we have lost a loved one, and this is the first holiday benchmark without them. And even if it's been many years since those that we have been given to love by God, given to love them because God put them in our lives, that kind of void of not buying presents, of not setting a place at the dinner table, that void can be as sharp as ever. I'm reminded, and I think I've shared this with the congregation before, but I share it again because I find it, at least for me, to be so helpful. The advice of one Christian counselor that I had conversation with years ago, who said, whenever grief enters into the picture, there are 20,000 tears that God gives you to cry. And those 20,000 tears may be expended in a week. For some others, though, those 20,000 tears may take a full lifetime to work through. But however long it takes, As Revelation says, there is a God who takes notice of every last one of those 20,000 tears. And for each one of them, and for whenever they are shed, God gives a hope. God gives a confidence. A confidence that we can read about and envision. An echo that rings on our ears. That says God has done a new thing. God has done a great thing. And that his righteous kingdom will endure. And we, through our baptisms, through our faith, we will persevere and endure as well. And so as you come forward today, maybe even a little bit later on at 10:45, participate in that healing activity that we're going to be having here in this sanctuary. As you work through perhaps another round of those 20,000 tears, that you would see, that you would hear, that you would remember, that if God is for you, who can be against you? That you would see and hear and remember that this God is your God. Through Jesus Christ, he is your Savior. He is your salvation. And all that stands against his church, his kingdom, his people, he sits in judgment and victory over. And this is our confidence. And to that, God's people said, amen.